When you believe something, can't nobody change your mind about it. Amen. You born again? Are you born again? Yes, you believe you're born again? Yes, could I change your mind about it? If I got up here and talked about it, started giving scriptures, started talking real fast, started giving my theological sermon on what it is and what it is, and really understand and try to make you understand that you're not really saved, would you believe me? No. Why? Because you believe that you are what? You believe it. Can't nobody change your mind. What's your name? What's your name? You know your name? What's your name? Say your name. Could I change your name? Could I tell you? You're not Lolita. I did this with some young people one time. I said, what if I told you that I knew your mom before you got here and your name is really Jenny? No, it's not. No, it's not. My name. And people are sticklers about knowing their names and knowing that I'm saved. Right? Couldn't change your mind, could I? Ain't no way, because you believe it. See, believing a thing is powerful. Believing something gives you access to all that it is. Just believing it. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing. So I'm going to go back to the scripture. We've been going over it. You're going to hear probably tonight, you're going to hear me talk about grace. The next teacher, you're probably going to hear them talk about grace. And teach after that, they probably going to talk about grace too. Because we just need to be established in that. We know about it. We've been singing Amazing Grace for years. We've been saying grace over our food for longer years. Right? Grace, that's funny how we just do things like that. But we're going to go back over some stuff that we've been over. And we just touched on something. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I mean, he doesn't change. That means the same intention that he had at the beginning, he has it today. Same intention that he has today, he has for tomorrow. No matter what is going on between now and the beginning, and you know, when you say Jesus Christ, we're still talking about God too, because they all are one. Whatever intention there was at the beginning for man is still the same, because he's the same yesterday and forever. So he hadn't changed his mind. No matter what Adam and Eve did, no matter what you and I did, what's going on? God has not changed his mind. The same dominion, the same God-likeness that he wanted us to have, the same made in his image that we are, he's got the same intention today in this moment, regardless of what's been done up until now. His intention has never changed. See, God is the only thing that's totally consistent in our lives. Not your husband, not your wife, not your pastor, not whoever it is. God is the only thing that is totally and 100% consistent and will be there at the beginning and at the end. He's never changed. Though time, though people change, the people dip and they come up with different ideas, and the church resurrect once and then they go down again, and then the people wanted a king, and then they didn't want a king, and they worship the idols. No matter how much, God still stayed the same regardless. His intention never changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed his mind about it. All right? So it is, you know, I like the statement people say, it's like, but it is what it is. You ever statement before? Yeah. It just is what it is. God is who he is. His intention is what it is. It's not going to change. All right. So the dominion is there. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not. I want to say this again. God has not changed his mind. I don't care if you mess up tomorrow. God ain't changed his mind about his intention for you. Jeremiah 1 say, before you fall in the belly, I knew you. Oh, danger, I sanctified you. I knew exactly what it is that I wanted you to be when I made you. Before you even came out of the womb. Before you were formed in the belly. And God has not changed his mind. He still has the same thoughts for you. Now, a lot of times we can get caught up. Oh, we miss it, don't we? Yes, sir. And even, I'm not talking about sinning. I'm not talking about just falling off or something. Just, we miss it. Yes, right? We miss sometimes that we don't make the right decision. Sometimes we don't. We feel like we ain't prayed enough, or we ain't read enough, or whatever it is. And we feel that sometimes. But don't let the guilt conscience come upon you. Because if you're guilt conscious, that's all you're going to get is guilt. As I think, therefore I am. If I'm sin conscious, that's all I'm going to get is sin. Because as I think, therefore I am. I can't be unworthy conscious. All right? I know that I'm no good without him. All right? We understand that. But I'm worthy because he made me worthy. Y'all get that? I'm righteous because he made me righteous through him. You're born again, aren't you? Yes, sir. So now it doesn't matter what goes on, even tomorrow, even the day after tomorrow. We going to mess up again, y'all. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
But God does not change his mind. All right? The same way he wanted to use you yesterday, the same way he's going to use you today. The guilt conscience, the guilt, the condemnation, the guilt conscience, the condemnation, the guilt conscience, the condemnation, the guilt conscience, the condemnation. We've been guilty and we've been condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And you know, the Greek stops right there. Don't say nothing about walking after the flesh or after the spirit. It says you in Christ Jesus. Duh, if you're really in Christ Jesus, you're going to walk after the spirit. Who walk, them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. No condemnation. None. 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 How many are born again? You're born again? You're born again. You're saved. You've been saved. Jesus on the inside of you, right? There's no condemnation. Condemning yourself is like you condemning Christ. Christ can't be condemned because he's on the inside of you. You and him are joint heirs. I'm a joint heir with Christ, right? I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a co-laborer with Christ. I'm a son of God. You understand that? Christ made it available for that. So now there can be no condemnation there. You're out of order if you're condemning yourself. You're out of order if you let anybody else condemn you. Would Jesus let somebody condemn him? So God has not changed his mind. Same thing he intended on in the beginning is the same thing he intends for you now. Same thing he intended on in the beginning when he made man is the same thing he intended for now. Regardless of who ate off of what tree or what not tree. He still got the same intention. What he changed? Did he change? He's got the same intention, the same dominion. He's got a plan. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So be not verse 9. It says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." Y'all read the next part. Ready? Read. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. For it is a good thing. Don't be cared about with divers and strange doctrine. Now, I'm talking to the preachers now, and I'm talking about church unusual. We're still talking about this, all right? We're still talking about us being a church and even us being ministers and how we deliver and what is it that we're ministering and how we present this word of God. Don't be a carried away with strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that thy heart be established with grace. Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So now establishing, we talked about this last time we met, and then we just go over it again, but it's important that your heart be established in grace. Established, you just say permanent, fixed, can't be changed, unchangeable. It is established. The foundation of everything you do is grace. The foundation of your ministry, the foundation of your calling, the foundation of your family, the foundation of your devotion, everything, the foundation of your walk, everything is established with grace. All right, y'all understand that? Now, establishing my heart with grace is not an overnight thing. All right, because we've been establishing church, churchisms, right? We've been establishing law. Oh, thou shalt not kill. Y'all know what that's one of the commandments. We know that. We've been establishing it. We've been establishing a lot of other things. A lot of times in life, we can be told things coming up, and you're told over and over again, and you become established in that thing, and so you begin to believe that about yourself when that may not be who you are. So we've been establishing a lot of things. But it's a good thing that your heart be established with grace. Nothing but grace. All your understanding has to lead back to grace. Grace says supply. The essence of grace is supply. The essence of grace is supply. So now my heart, in anything that I do, ministry, church, my heart must be established with grace. That means I should be established with supply. I should think nothing else but that the fact that there's a supply for whatever needs to be done, when it needs to be done. Think about it for a minute. My heart's got to be established. I'm going to say it over and again. Got to be established. My heart's got to be established. My heart's got to be established. My heart's got to be established. I can't just know the message. I got to be the message. Can't just know about it. It's got to be a part of me. It's got to be ingrained in me. I got to breathe, speak grace. Very, very few conversations I've been able to have recently that doesn't end up talking about grace. It's very few. And my heart is still being established with grace. Once my heart becomes established with grace, then that Jesus Christ, that's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that same intention that he had, that intention becomes a present moment thing for me because I'm established in that. I'm established in who he is. You know, grace is not a message, it's a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus saying yesterday, today, and forever. If my heart is established with him, then he becomes who I am today. I become like him in this moment. Are y'all with that? So now, whatever he is, I am now. I got a right to be at the right hand of the Father. I have a right to touch that right hand of the Father. I have a right to commune with the Father. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Come on, but my heart has to be established. And I keep saying this over and over again because it got to get to the point where I can't think nothing else but grace. I can't think nothing else but the fact that there's more than enough. I can't think nothing else but the fact that I'm healthy from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Even when a pain hit me, I'm still healthy. I be talking, I say, God loves me. All right, and I bounce back. I mean, that statement, just say it right quick. Just God love me. Think about it for a second. Just say it. Say it, okay. Don't say it to me. Say it to you. Don't tell me. Just talk to yourself. Say it. Say God loves me. That makes me, that does something for me. When I say God loves, I don't need you to lay hands on me now. And when I say God loves me, and God bless me, but when I say God loves me, that does something for me. It does something for my faith. It does something for my belief. It makes me understand that the Almighty God, who's the creator of everything, is in control of everything, will not let evil come upon me. He will not let sin take me over. He will not let poverty, all wickedness, all sickness and disease take me over. Because God loves me. God loves me. So you gotta remind myself. I say, God loves me. And then when I do that, I'm back into my righteous state. And I realize, okay, I remember who I am now. I'm back to my establishment in grace. It gets to the point where I can't think nothing else but grace. Now, none of us are quite there yet. We probably think a lot of grace because we've been hearing a lot of grace lately. But grace should be the lifestyle. It should be the point where when a call comes that doesn't match up to what you believe, grace should just be the thing that answers the phone call. Amen. All right? Not answer the phone call, then go get some grace. No, grace should answer the phone. Grace should be the first thing that anything that comes in your life meet. Now, we tried to do it in word of faith, and we tried to do it by confession, and we tried to do it by you know, just, we tried to do it, and it's not a wrong thing. We tried to do it, but we didn't have the full-fledged, full-flourishing revelation of grace. We were trying to do it. So, you know, you say, my dad used to tell me when I was younger, he said, you got to watch what you're saying. You know, because that's like the power of the tongue. And so, you know, people say, man, my son's killing me. You know, you ever heard somebody say that before? Oh, man, they tickle me to death. Right. And I rebuke all this. I'm saying it now. I'm just giving an example, Lord. I'm just giving an example. But you say little stuff, right? And we used to be like, no, don't you say that. It ain't killing. I still stop people today. I'd be like, yo, it ain't killing you. It's not killing you. You might be hurting, but it ain't killing you right now. You're still breathing. I stop saying that. People don't understand. And we were trying to do it, but we didn't understand that we were having good intentions and doing something the right way are two different things. And you can have good intentions. God bless your good intentions. Praise the Lord for that. It's better than bad intentions, right? Right? God bless that. But your good intentions is not going to get anything done. You got to be by faith. It's got to be by faith. And what kind of faith? The faith of the Son of God. Who's that? The faith of Jesus. That's the faith of grace. It's got to be by that. And so we were trying to do it. We were trying to be established. But we thought that what we were doing, we thought the confession that we were making was making it happen. We thought that we didn't make enough confessions, and that's why we didn't get a manifestation. Tell the truth. We talking about believing, talking about being established, but we thought that we didn't believe strong enough, right? Or we thought that we didn't have it ironclad. So we thought that my confession. Now, watch this. Confession is important. Don't get me wrong. All right. We thought my confession was making it happen, but it can't make it happen. It is already. Everything that we do in life right now, the things that we do in church, is only making us aware of what already is. Worship. Your tithing. You think about things we do. The stuff we do in church, right? Think about it. The things we do now since we're born again, right? Yes, we do things differently now. We live a certain way. We pray. We pray, and not only do we pray in the Holy Ghost, right? right? And we read the Bible, and we come to worship, and we pay our tithes, and we sow, and we do different things. Everything we're doing is just making us aware of our God nature. Everything that we're doing is just making us aware of our God nature. Everything that we are doing is just making us aware of our God nature. You know, the audacity of us to think that we're making anything happen anyway. I got church unusual, but I'm not in church unusual in the church. You know, worship. I worship God. I bring the presence of the Lord in the room. So you brought it? So what you did brought the presence. So he wasn't here already? Good question, huh? See how we our minds do? Because it's slick. It's slick, and the enemy let you go with it because it's just slick. But you ain't bring nothing in the room. All you do is made yourself aware. That he's here. You see that? You ain't I'm gonna open up, so it wasn't open already? So you opened up heaven. You can't do nothing. You can't make nothing. He is the maker. All I'm doing is becoming, and thank God that he done made everything already paid for. I mean, how better does the deal, how much better can the deal get? Come on, y'all. How much better can a deal get? All you got to do is just believe and then receive. Receive, believe. Now, y'all passed the first receive because you already received Christ. Right? He's already got it, right? So you already received the gift. So you got it. So now all you got to do is believe in what you receive, and then you receive the stuff that's manifesting here. That manifestation is just a product of what you have already. Do y'all get that? When financial increase shows up, you get an unexpected check, right? Right? Praise the Lord. God that came through. No, God had already come through. That's just a manifestation of who you are. When whatever it is they told you was in your body dries up and it's gone and they can't find it, whoo, the Lord came through. No, he didn't do it right then. It was already done. You just had to become aware of who you were. It's already done. It already is. And so now I received Christ. So now the deal can't get no better. All I got to do is believe and receive. I don't know. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. It can't get no more pretty than that. It don't get no more simple. Believe and receive. And so now, boy, grace is a powerful thing, boy, because not only does grace change my functioning, but then grace covers me where I'm short at. Amen. Huh? Yes, grace covers me. You remember, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You remember that? Yes, and then he got a miracle, didn't he? Yes. Wait, hold on, but he had some unbelief in there. He had, because he admitted it. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus still went on. What? Hold on, that ain't what they taught us. You didn't confess enough. You got to get that unbelief out you. All of y'all got a little bit of unbelief in you. Tell the truth. It's just, I ain't got as much as the next person, right? You got a little bit of, listen, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Grace covers it all. Grace just covers. That's what it just covers. So it's important that your heart be established in that. It's important that your heart be established in the fact that it's not, you don't have to work to grace. You have grace. You don't have to work to it. I'm going to be good enough to get grace. You don't get that good. You're already made righteous. Jesus had to do it, because if we had to work towards it, we all die before we get there. He had to make us righteous because we couldn't make it ourselves. You realize that? You know, when they say, Jesus said, I ain't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. The only reason he said that, because he was the only one who could. Nobody else was up to that level to be able to fulfill that position of fulfilling the law. Nobody else was a spotless lamb like he was. That means God had to come and do it himself. Nobody else was worthy. That's the only reason he said that. Nobody else could have fulfilled it. It's important. In verse 9, it's important. It's a good thing that our hearts be established with grace. Church, I'm using it already. Established with grace, not with meats, And all of that stuff was they've been occupied and it profited them nothing. Look at it, verse 9. It said it profited them nothing. The meats, the meats, that meats represents the works. That meats represents all the churchisms. That meat represents all the things that they've been doing that they thought it was them doing it to make it work. But it said it profited them nothing, didn't it? Huh? There's no profit in them. All the meats. You know what they're talking about? The meats, they're really talking about the sacrifices. All this, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. We ain't going to sing that no more. Give your sacrifice of praise. So we still sacrificing? Come on, y'all, come on. It was one sacrifice. And when Jesus Christ sacrificed his life, that was it. When that time you burned the cow. Here, Lord, I've been sinning all this year. This for the next 30 days. We ain't got to do that no more. Keep your cow. I'll get your steak, right? Get your steak. We ain't got to do that no more. We ain't got to do that in our worship. Sacrifice, Lord, bring a sacrifice. Lord said, just come. You come unto me. Don't come up. Don't talk about bringing no sacrifice to me. Don't be sending me your work. Send me you. Hey, think about it for a moment. Hey, give me, you just come. Come unto me all labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You come. I need you to come. I don't need your, I need you to come. I want you to come nigh. You to draw nigh unto me. That's what I want. I want you. Your heart established in grace. Your heart established in grace. Your heart established in grace. Our heart is getting established over and over again. Over and over again. Romans chapter 10. And then I'm going to start in verse 8, but verse 1, he starts talking about Moses and I pray for God and Israel that they might be saved. And he's talking about Israel. He's talking about how Israel thought that they didn't believe on Jesus and they needed to hear about the message of grace. And they thought it was by law and they thought about the things that they did and they were stuck in so many different ways, so they thought it was about them. And it started off in verse 8, it says, but what say that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy That is the word of faith which we preach. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I'm going to deal with a couple of things. What we're talking about tonight deals with your personal life and it deals with your public life too. All right? It deals with your personal life, but it deals with your ministry life also. Because you may be ministering to somebody, but you can't be cared about with divers or strange doctrines. But we've got to preach the word of faith. All right, listen to me now. I'm talking about the word of faith, like a denomination. They always made a new denomination. However, I'm talking about the word. Well, what is the word of faith? Really, not a group of people that came up with a movie. No. What is the word of faith? The word of faith we preach. We're going to go to verse 9 in a second and see what it is. But you've got to preach this. It's going to deal with you twice. Deal with you personally, but it deals with you publicly. But it's going to deal with you personally first, because if it never deals with you personally, then you have no power publicly. All right, see, the best message that you have is your life. Not something that you heard me say, something that you know for yourself. All right, the word of God, that word, it has to mingle on the inside of you and become alive in you and then manifest that, and that'll be your message, not your notes. I told my mother class, I don't really do well with notes. That's just me, though. I'm not saying nothing wrong with notes, all right? So don't make a law out of that, all right? No notes, that's a law. No. Don't make a law. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about me. I don't do well with notes. I don't do well with that. You see what I'm saying? I did the same thing last night. What was I talking about? I did the same thing last night. Maybe I wasn't supposed to talk about that thing. Personally, thank you. Deal with you personally. Yeah. Got to deal with your life personally, all right? It's not about these notes. Or it's not about all the things you got. It's got to deal with you personally. You can take my notes and go try to preach them, and it won't touch nobody. That's right. Amen. You can take my scriptures that I wrote down and go preach them. You'll be dead as a doughnut. Yeah. Yeah. It's got to deal with you, all right? Let me tell you something about all y'all got giftings. God didn't call all y'all for specific things. I don't know what it is. God got you here for a reason. If he ain't need you here, you wouldn't be here. All right, I'm not talking about here at school. I'm just talking about in life. He got you here in life for a reason, all right? If he didn't need you, he wouldn't have had you here, all right? And there's a purpose behind what you're doing, all right? And so now there are people that are allotted in life to hear you. Yeah, they might not be called to hear me. There's people you will come in contact with that I might not ever come in contact with, but they're called to hear you. So now they don't need to hear me through you. They need to hear Jesus through you, but through you. See that special. God made you special. You know, we talk different. We think different. We look different. Everybody got a different fingerprint, right? Y'all know that, right? Everybody got a different fingerprint. Like God was something when he was making us, boy. Everybody on the earth got a different fingerprint. God was trying to say something to us. I made you individuals for a reason. If I wanted all y'all clones, I'd have made a bunch of robots with no fingerprints. So when that message hits your heart, and so the work on the inside of you, the way that you deliver can touch whoever you're supposed to touch in a different way from the way that I would. But if a joint supplies, y'all see that? But it's got to come through you. I don't need you parakeeting my message. I don't need you echoing what I'm saying. You got to get that word in. Your heart got to be established in grace. I don't need you going babble off what you heard apostles say. And thank God, because I be preaching. I preach what he say too, but I make sure that I understand and I know in my knower what's going on. I make sure that I'm not just trying to say something because I want what he got. See what I'm saying? Because I saw what he got, now I'm going to say what he said. To get with no. If you try to do that, you'll miss what he really got. Yeah. You'll miss what he really got. Yes, you'll miss how that word is in there to change and to mingle up with that anointing that's on your life. Huh? Yes, sir. The gift that's on your life to be able to release out to whoever God has allotted for you to speak to. So it's got to work through you. You got to work. There's two ways. It's going to deal with you personally first. All right. Don't try to go be no minister and go minister to nobody. You ain't minister to yourself. True statement. True statement. Your first ministry is you. All right, he said, love your neighbor as you love who? That means you minister to your neighbor as you minister to yourself. You ain't got no ministry nowhere else if you have not been ministered to. Now this is where your study time come in. Now this is where your prayer time come in. All right. Now to get you close to God, we always said that before, but it makes you more aware of God in you. Yeah. Awareness. Put awareness on your paper and circle it. Put awareness on. No. Put be aware. Be aware on your paper and circle it. Write it kind of big. Don't write it too small because then you're going to skip over it. I want you to put it on your paper where you can't pass it up when you're going through your notes. Be aware. Be aware. Be, look at me, be aware. Be aware of God in you. Be aware. How must I be? I gotta be aware. I gotta convince myself to be aware of who God is in me. And who I am in him. But I gotta be aware. I'll never forget my daddy. I always told me this. I'll never forget it. He said, son, you gotta practice the presence of God. That means you have to be aware. You don't just be aware when you're on your knees praying in tongues. Don't just be aware when you're in ministry school class. Don't just be aware when you're Sunday or Wednesday night Bible study. Don't just be aware when you think you're deep. Be aware all the time. Because God can do anything at any moment, anywhere. He could be trying to do it in the next 4 minutes, but you got to be aware. Because if you're not aware, you will not catch it. You play football, I always go to sports. When you throw the football, if I'm not aware that the ball is coming off, I ain't even looking for it, then there's no way that I can catch or score. I don't care who throw it. God could be the quarterback. Now, can't get no better than him. There's no more pinpoint accuracy than him. You can't get no better pass than him. But even he could be the quarterback, but if you're not aware, you'll drop the ball. Be aware. When you're establishing grace, you be aware. You be aware of who you are. Be aware of who God is in you. Be aware of your position in Christ. So now, word of faith we preach. The thou confess with thy mouth. Two places now, you and then publicly. But it's you first, then publicly. But it's you first. You hear me? But it's you first. Don't go try to preach this if you ain't got this. Don't go try to preach no message that you ain't got. Just that. And it says, that if thou, this is our favorite, ready? That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and then what it say next? Then what happens? Let me go over to my other Bible because it's better than win out on this one. As confessing about the Lord Jesus shall believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead. Believing in thine heart, 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 believe in thine heart. That shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him. Who is him? Jesus from the dead. Then what happened? You'll be saved. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto what? The heart was meant to believe on the righteousness, not on anything else. The heart was meant, for with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So now we're now believing, establish. It says if you that confess your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then confess your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then what happens? Thou shalt be saved. Now, don't leave the scripture in the altar worker's room. Because this is where we leave it at. Rarely does our meditation go across this scripture. We're going to read Proverbs, and we're going to read this and this and this and this and this. But it's a statement I said a lot of y'all, they laugh in the class. I probably said in the class too, but you dance with the one who brung you. You remember when we say that? You dance with the one who brung it. I mean, you go to the dance, you roll with them, didn't you? It's the only way you got here. You wouldn't have got here. Don't get here and lose your mind. Forgot who you came with. Now you want to dance with the other girl. Nope. Dance with the girl who you came with. She brought you. I'm in my freshman homecoming. I ain't had no license, so I had to go to the girl that was a sophomore. Had to ride in her car, but I couldn't get there and be like, thank you, and then start dancing with her. No, I had to dance with the one who brung me, because she got to bring me home. All right, but this scripture brought me saved. You're saved, right? Are you saved? Don't talk about your Christian. I'm not talking about what does it mean? I'm saved. No, don't talk about. I'm not talking about. I'm a Christian right now. I know y'all, but I'm not talking about that. Now get out of there for a second. But you're saved, right? But see, we don't meditate this scripture. That if thou shalt confess the mouth the Lord Jesus, confess was thy mouth what? The Lord Jesus. Nothing else. The Lord Jesus, and then believe in that heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe. Listen, in my heart. That God raised Jesus from the dead, what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. The salvation, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the buttons of the heart, the mouth speak. So the mouth ain't going to speak nothing in the heart. So what do I believe? Do I really believe this? Do I really believe this? Now, the scripture can't be left in the altar workers' room because we do it. We say those two scriptures to get people saved, but then we don't use it no more. We say the two scriptures to get us saved. That's what they quoted to us, didn't it? Anybody remember? That's scripture. That's your salvation scripture. Confess your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe your heart, you'll be saved, right? Right? That's what we know, right? But we left it at just conversion at that one moment, like we shouldn't be keep being converted. Like tomorrow, I ain't got to be saved. Huh? This scripture, 10, 9, and 10, should be a lifestyle. It shouldn't just be that scripture that we use to cross over. There's a crossover. No, it's not a crossover scripture. It's a lifestyle scripture. So now, with my mouth, I must be confessing the Lord Jesus. How long? All the time. And then I got to believe in my heart all the time that God raised Jesus from the dead. Then shall I be saved. Saved from what? Huh? I'm asking. Whatever's going on. So now I'm saved from confusion. I'm saved from being broke. I'm saved from sickness and disease. I'm saved from breakup in my family. I'm saved from depression. I'm saved from oppression. What is it? Come on, think about it. You think about the thing that's been bothering you the most. Or the thing that's been stopping you from being everything God wants you to be. Or that thing that's been a roadblock in your pathway. You saved though. Huh? Are you saved or are you not saved? Straight up. Are you saved or are you not saved? Because either you're going to be or you're not. You know you say you can't. The song say you can't. Straddle the fence. Ain't no in and out. Either I'm in or I'm out. Either it's by grace or it's by the law. Am I saved or am I not saved? Am I born again or am I dead? No. I'm saved. Saved from what? All of it. But see, you got to believe this. Now see, this scripture got to keep going though. This scripture keeps going. It doesn't stop in the altar worker's room. It doesn't stop when you talk to that person to get them born again today. No, you need that. You renew daily. You say, I got to get saved again tomorrow? Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, tomorrow must be a day of salvation. And so, because, let me teach you something. That right now, Jesus, come here, Darius. Right now, God is right here. This is us. I represent Jesus. Jesus, I'm on the wrong side. I'm sorry. Right hand of the Father. Let me get that right, because I'm out of mess of illustration of you. See how important? Jesus right here, interceding. Where he at? They say he interceding for us, right? That means he's holding on to the hand of the Father, and I got his. Now right here, he's in the middle. You got to realize that you one hand loose away from being back on that side. Now watch this. You one hand loose away, so I've got to hold on, and I've got to constantly believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I cannot go tomorrow without believing in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Because this right here, even though, and see, God, Jesus still be holding on to us. Grace. In our beliefs, sometimes because we didn't read Romans 10. Now, I don't know when the last time you read it before tonight. We don't read that for our devotion. That's not our devotion. That's that salvation scripture. And it is a salvation scripture, but it's not our devotion. Right? You almost need to read it every day. You almost need to put it in. I'm not trying to make a law out of it. So, once again, but you need to confess your mouth. You need to believe in your heart. All right, you know, you're confessing Jesus every day. I mean, what somebody asks you about your life, you're going to say, I'm born again, ain't you? You confess Jesus. And sometimes we'll let go with our belief, but we've got to, and he's still pulling us, but it's a better connection right here. Do y'all get what I'm saying? We can get more of the flow right here when I'm aware. Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
So now, thank y'all. So now, this is my heart being established in grace right here. This is my heart being established with grace. Verse 9 and verse 10. This is my heart being established in grace. This is my heart being established in grace. Stop. That's law. Stop saying, that's old. Stop saying that's salvation scripture. Stop saying that's just scripture to get people saved. Just a scripture to get people saved? Just to get saved? What does that mean? I am saved. Say it.
I am saved.
Right now, I am saved. Saved from what? Whatever's trying to get me out of my saved position. Whatever it is that don't look like Jesus, I'm saved from it. But I got to be established in this. We yell, I'll get an excuse. Calm down, my trail. We get excited. Listen, we got to be established in this. So now I got to take this, and I got to believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I actually born again. Yes, I'm born again. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Saved from what all? So why are you still dealing with that? You saved from it. You have been saved. You have been. No. You're not going to be saved. You have. I am. Are you saved or you're getting saved? You saved right now, huh? So that means now you go back to that thing. And let that thing know that I'm saved. Hold on now. You go back to that thing and let it know that I'm saved. Even that thing that's going to come tomorrow that might be trying to throw you out your salvation. It's the enemy trying to trick you. I am saved right now. I'm not getting saved. I'm not going to be saved. I don't have to do anything to be saved. I am saved. Do you believe that Jesus is alive right now?
Yes.
Then I'm saved. That's it. Yes. I believe in my heart. All right. And this has got to translate to everywhere in my life. This can't just be the salvation scripture once again. I can't just put this in a compartment. No, this is everything. I can't put it in a box. We put it in the box, Derek, and so it hadn't been working at the job. We put it in a box. We put it in the Christian box. Right? We put it in that salvation box, so it hadn't been working with my money. We want to jump to the other scriptures, and God bless it for them, but this the one. Dance with the one who brung you. if the biggest miracle that ever happened to you was that your soul got saved, regardless of what you done. Amen. Who can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Biggest miracle that ever happened. There ain't gonna be no miracle bigger than that. Your conversion. You're born again. How can a man be? Must he enter into the womb again? How can a man, your being born again is the greatest miracle that you could receive. So he done done already the hardest thing to do for you. So the other stuff ain't nothing. Because I am saved. I am saved. Come on. I am saved. Now we need to start saying this to ourselves. All right, and then we say I'm righteous of God because I am healed, I am blessed. We say all those things, but we got to say I am saved. I am saved, and I'm not saying I am a Christian right now. I'm saying I'm saved. He snatched me up out of that problem. He saved me from He saved me from whatever it was that was trying to take me out and get me to not be what He called me to be. I am saved. And you must remind yourself. Don't just remind yourself. I'm saved. Don't remind yourself when just a problem come up. Just remind yourself on a daily. So now when the problem do come up, you automatically going to say, I'm saved. Boom. And that thing gone. See, it'll be that quick. We waiting. They don't wait. We done made a law out of that. Wait. No. That's what Jesus kept on saying straightway and suddenly. Say straightway. Her blood was dried up. It said suddenly. It'll be that quick. That thing could happen. You can get a call about something going on, but you start saying, you know what? Forget about it because I'm saved. Yeah. Remind myself I'm saved. And so because I'm saved and God loves me, hallelujah. Can't nothing beat me. I can't lose. Say it. Because I'm saved. Come on, y'all. Come on, get it. Come on. I'm saved. I'm saved right now. I ain't got to work to it. I ain't got nothing else I got to do. I'm already in here. Would God suffer any defeats? Would Jesus suffer any defeats? No, he did all that already. You talk to that thing. Listen, I don't know. You go. Think about what it is right now because you know what it is you're dealing with. Y'all know exactly what it is. You know, we get to church and we're like, I ain't got no problems. No. It's something that you're dealing with that you shouldn't be dealing with. I'm already saved from that. So when depression come, when condemnation try to come over you, when all these different things try to tell you you ain't gonna never be nothing, God has had the same idea. He got the same idea he had right now that he had yesterday. I am saved. He has not changed his mind. See, God wants you to understand his consistency. Saved right now. No, talk about Christian, right? That's cool for what people need to understand. Man made that. Man made Christian. No. I'm saved right now. Why? Because I confess Jesus Christ with my mouth. I believe in my heart that God raised you. Do you believe? So the same way you believe that for yourself, for your soul, is for everything else. You go back to the thing and tell them I'm saved. That habit. And we're trying to break. I'm already saved from you. No, I ain't got to go do no 21-step program. I'm already, that program ain't stronger than the blood of Jesus. I'm already, I am saved. You talk to that. You speak to that. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And the word of faith, which we preach, that I confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus. I did it one time, all the time. Not that one time, all the time. Not that one time, all the time. Lifestyle. Romans 10:19 will never be just a salvation scripture to you ever again. It should never be. It is lifestyle. Who with the heart man believeth unto what? You shouldn't believe unto nothing else but righteousness. With the mouth, confession made unto salvation. If you've been saying some stuff that you don't want to say, or some stuff to the contrary, you even catch yourself and say, oh, I shouldn't even said that. Well, you got to go back, and say, I'm saved. I believe unto righteousness. Heart, your heart. It's a good thing that your heart be established. Your mind has changed a little bit tonight, huh? Yes, sir. So we all done repented up in here tonight, you know? No, seriously. Every time you minister to God, there should be some repenting going on. Yes, your mind should be changing. We don't, mine too. I ain't know none of that stuff. I ain't got no notes. I told you I ain't got no notes. I repented in my mind. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to think this is salvation scripture no more, or it's just to get people across the line. This keeps me in the state of being a co-laborer with Christ. But it's going to make it easy. You know my yoke is easy? It's going to make it easy. You go home tonight. Do it tonight. Don't wait. Do it tonight. Go home. And that thing, the thought going to come up. Soon the thought come up. That thought come up, that thing that's trying to block you, I'm saved. Tell it. You look up. I don't know how you look at your thoughts. I don't know. Hey, I'm saved. And every time that thought, watch this. My daddy taught me something. The enemy try to bring these negative thoughts. He got tricks and lies and deceit. Try to make you think that you're something that you're not. You already are. It's what he did with Adam and Eve. He tried to make them think that they wasn't like God, but God breathed into them. How are you not like God right now? He breathed into you and made a living soul. But he said, no, you'll be like God if you eat from the tree. So he tricked them. So it's always a trick he's trying to make. So he's trying to trick you in your mind, all right? So when that told me, he said, the enemy tried to come in and tell you something. I say it out loud. I bet you can't get me to say it. You know, your chest started. Oh, what's something wrong with your heart? I bet you can't get me to say it. And then what you say? I'm saved. I am healed. By his stripes, I am. Already am. So now, it's discipline. Heart stabs and great discipline. Now this is where discipline comes in. Yeah, the thought come up. I'm not talking about somebody called you and said nothing, but that thought come up in you. So you know what I said? It got to be you first before it's public. You, that thought come up. I got them too. The thoughts come up. No, I'm saved. And you meet it with it. You meet it at the door. Okay, let's say it got in the house and you ain't catch it at the door. All right, just go ahead and find out whatever room it's in. He used to make us feel bad. See, you let the enemy in. Okay, so get him out. So you tell me he can't leave? He got to leave. I wasn't established that much today. I was on something else. I want to think. He got it. All right, go walk through your house. Find our way yet and meet it and say, I'm saved. And put it on out. It's going to make it easy. Your life is going to change. Everything that you, look, the stuff that's trying to come up against you, all it is trying to lie to you and tell you that you're something that you're not. It's trying to make you forget or confuse you about who you are. I am saved. God, Jesus made me. I'm the righteousness of God. Through Christ, I am a joint heir with Christ. Whatever he got, I got it. What you think Christ doing right now? How you think he living? That should be yours too. Why? Because I am saved. That's it. Scripture, no. Stop leaving it in the altar workers' room. I'm going to say it again. I did too. I left in there. I wasn't studying that. That wasn't in the manuscript. Well, you know, what I need to read for devotion. We ain't seen no Romans 10:9-10. We just said that to get born again. Come on, y'all. Come on. This 12 scriptures. Light your world up. Confess in my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I shall be. I am. That's it. That's simple, ain't it? Yes, sir. Huh?
Yes, sir.
It's simple. So now, everything you do is making you aware of that. Everything that you go do from now should be making you aware of that. So when you're reading the word, you're becoming more aware of I am saved. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're becoming more aware. I am saved. When you decide to worship, I'm becoming more aware that I am saved. Whatever it is, you're paying your tithes. When you're giving, you're becoming more aware. The Lord helped me the other day. He said, your giving is not just about no harvest. That's just a knee-jerk reaction. That's just an effect of what you caused to happen. That's just going to come. All I'm trying to do is make you alive and show you how to be like me. Because God is a giver. That's what it's really about. You know, when it's time to give, it's not about, that's easy. Oh, that's easy. Elementary, my dear. I'm trying to awake you to your righteousness and to your God-likeness. I'm trying to awake you to the fact that you like me. I made you in my image. I made you a giver. So now when I give, I'm not, we got to change now. Change, right? Not just I'm giving. See, I know what I sow, I reap. I understand that. But that's just, and all that happens. As long as the earth remains, seed time, my harvest going to be here. But when I'm giving, I'm seeing my hand go out and I'm looking at it and I'm the righteousness of God. I'm doing like God would do. What would God do in this situation? I'm being like my Father. I'm giving like He gives. And what does He get back? What kind of results He get from His giving? He got y'all, didn't He? Huh? For God so loved the world that He. Hey, man, grace be with you.